Good morning. Today, the church is a distinctly religious word. In today's world, the word church is synonymous with the words Christian religion. Virtually every expression of Christian religion is expressed by its association with the church. Even independent churches have theological connections with the church movement. In this nation and many others, when people hear the word church, they automatically think the word religion. Rarely is the word church used in today's world outside of a religious context. It surprises many to learn that church did not begin as a religious word. Originally, it was not a Christian thought and concept. Initially, it was a political word in an idolatrous world and had a secular emphasis. It referred to a political gathering of people called out to address matters that affected the community or city. Consider when Jesus declared, "I will build my church," Matthew 16:18, he was referring to an understanding or concept the disciples knew. Jesus used the word church infrequently. In referring to God's purposes, he more frequently spoke of God's kingdom. In using the word church in Matthew 16, he related his objective to an existing concept. Just as the cities have called out people to deliberate on matters pertaining to the city's interest, I too will develop a called out people to deliberate on matters pertaining to God's purposes. Instead of Jesus' called out focusing on political concerns, his called out would focus on God's concerns. Here's a good study for you. Run references on Jesus' use of the word kingdom, such as Matthew 4:17 and Matthew 13. And note how frequently he used that word concept. Then run references on Jesus' use of the word church, such as Matthew 16:18, and know how infrequently he used the word concept there. The common usage of the word church exists in the original language of the New Testament. Ecclesia is occasionally both translated or not translated when it refers to something besides Jesus' called out. In Acts 19, ecclesia is not translated church when it referred to a pagan assembly. The situation is described in Acts 19:28-41. Demetrius, the silversmith who earned his living by making shrines for Artemis, caused a general uproar in Ephesus. The city was filled with confusion and a large group rushed to the amphitheater. Verse 29. Many chanted, "Great is Artemis of Ephesus." Verse 28. The chant produced the confusion, and the confusion resulted in an assembly. In verse 32, the gathering is called ecclesia and is translated the assembly in most translations. The TEV, or Today's English Bible, translation uses the words "the whole meeting." Ecclesia occurs again in verse 41, and the New American Standard translation is again translated with the words "the assembly." Acts 19 is an example of the word church occurring in the original language but not being translated church because the word referred to an assembly which was not Christ's church. The point is not that these are poor translations. The point is that ecclesia was an understood concept in the first century Roman world, a profoundly unchristian world. In its common concept, the word had nothing to do with the Christian movement. It could even be used in reference to a confused, illegal assembly of idol worshippers who advocated loyalty to the idol Artemis. In the amphitheater at Ephesus, those gathered represented the concern of the idolatrous population of the city as a reaction against Christian teachings and influences. Stephen, in Acts 7:38, used ecclesia to refer to the nation of Israel assembled at the foot of Mount Sinai when they received the Ten Commandments. They were the church in the wilderness. They were called out of Egypt and then assembled at Sinai to receive directives from the God who had brought them out of Egypt. The called out were called from something to something for a specific purpose. Politically, they were an assembly called out of the general population to consider matters concerning the entire population. They were called out to consider matters bigger than themselves. In the same manner, those entering Jesus Christ through God's redemption needed to realize that they left the general population of the enslaved to evil to be God's holy ones. Though they were called out from evil's enslavement, they were still concerned for those continuing in evil's enslavement. In Christ, they were about God's purposes, not the purposes of physical desires and lusts that oppose God. As those called out to be gods, they were concerned about matters bigger than themselves. The common concept of church today, held both by many who are Christians and many who are not Christians, is centered, first of all, in buildings, 2, in attendance, 3, in membership, and 4, in a religious belief system. To ask, where do you go to church, is often understood to be a question concerning a particular location, or how frequent do you attend that location. 3, membership in the group at that location, and 4, acceptance of a religious belief system declared at that location. In those matters and more, today's concept of church and the first century concept of church are quite different. Listen as we read together the following verses. Look at what they actually say and do not react. Don't say, "That's not what I've been taught." Listen to the word and let it speak. In Acts 5, verse 11 says, "And great fear came over the whole church, and over all who heard these things." In Acts 8, verse 1, Saul was in hearty agreement with putting him to death, and on that day a great persecution began against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria except the apostles. Acts 8, verse 3, "But Saul began ravaging the church, entering house after house and dragging off men and women, he put them in prison." Acts 9, verse 31, "So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed peace, being built up and going on in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it continued to increase." Acts 11, verse 22, "The news about them reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas off to Antioch." In Acts 11, verse 26, "And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch, and for an entire year they met with the church and taught considerable numbers. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." Acts 12, verse 5, "So Peter was kept in the prison, but prayer for him was being made fervently by the church of God." Acts 14, 23, "When they had appointed elders for them in every church, having prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed." Acts 14, 27, "When they had arrived and gathered the church together, they began to report all things that God had done with them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles." In Acts 15, 22, "Then it seemed good to the apostles and elders with the whole church to choose men from among them to send to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, Judas called Barsabbas and Silas, leading men among the brethren." Then in Acts 18, 22, "When they had landed at Caesarea, he went up and greeted the church and went down to Antioch." These are not all the references in Acts that use the word church, but they are the majority. As you read them, what do you see and hear? Surely each scripture must be considered in its context. Add a little background, Jesus' church began in Acts chapter 2. Peter, as predicted by Jesus, Matthew 16, 17 through 19, used the keys to the kingdom to open the church to Jewish people and converts to Judaism. In the beginning, the church only existed in Jerusalem, but soon it existed throughout Palestine. The Acts scriptures are about the church in its earliest existence in and outside of Palestine. What does Acts state about the early existence of the church? The church was afraid, they were persecuted, was ravaged by dragging men and women out of their homes and placing them in prison. They enjoyed peace. They had ears, had non-residents work with them, were praying believers in Jesus Christ. They heard reports. They were not solely composed of apostles or elders. And 10, they received greetings. In its beginning, what was the church? They were people. Just any people? No. Then what people? People who believed that Jesus is the Christ and, in that conviction, were called out to belong exclusively to God. Acts reveals the church was people we would call Christians, believers in Jesus' resurrection, people who redirected their lives in the commitment to God. They were believers who accepted and respected the responsibility of living and functioning as God's called out. In a little over 30 years of preaching, I've often heard Christians speak of the church as something separate from themselves, most commonly when disapproving of something they did. I don't know why they would do that. The they was the church. In the early church, it was we, not they. The first problem occurring in the church centered in a distinction between a we and they, an arbitrary distinction quickly corrected, Acts 6, 1-7. Being a Christian who is not part of the church was not an early Christian option. In fact, early Christians would look upon our modern concept as strange. A person either was part of God's called out, or he or she was not. Today, an emphasis continues that presents the church as an institution rather than a people who live as God's called out. First realized for decades, those of the modern world thought primarily from an institution perception. For example, many complain government has become big government, more devoted to self-preservation in institutional forms than to serving its people. Note our thought process that separates government from people. We are familiar with big corporations, whose CEOs and vice presidents make business decisions that are concerned with profit margins and unconcerned about employees. Thus, our thinking easily structures the church as an institution with CEOs and vice presidents, making decisions focused on preserving the institution instead of accomplishing God's purposes. As we conclude our lesson today, I want you to see the connection between your salvation and the church. Many will say that they want Jesus, but not the church. They're saying they do not want to be part of those who are called out of the world. But is it possible to have Jesus and not be part of his called out people? Listen to Paul as he pens a letter to the Ephesians in chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. "And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." Later he writes in chapter 5, verse 23, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body." Now, if you reason this out, you see that Christ is the Savior of the body. The body is equal to the church. Therefore, if you are to be saved, you must be part of the body of Christ, the church, or those called out of the world. Now the question is, how do we become part of the body of Christ, his church? Paul writes to the Corinthians, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and we have all been made to drink into one Spirit." 1 Corinthians 12:13. Thus, we're baptized into the body of Christ, the church, or those who have been called out of the world. Please, friends, study these things that we've talked about today, and don't dismiss them just because you've been previously taught different. Remember those of Thessalonica who dismissed the things they were taught. But the Scripture says of the Bereans, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Acts 17, verse 11. If we can encourage you and study with you, please let us know. And until next week, may God bless and keep you.